Hello, my name is Whispering Bob Harris, and welcome to BBC Radio 2's Nighttime Hour. Only joking, my name is Rob Grace, and welcome to the Barking Toad Trivial Pursuit podcast, or BTTPP, the podcast where Matt McCauley and I take a random Trivial Pursuit question card, go away, do some research, and come back with some facts, some nonsense, and everything in between. This is Season 3, Episode 7. And for the simple reasons of lack of motivation, very poor questions, and just pure laziness, this episode is a little different. We have no facts. None. Nil. Zip. Nada. Niente. All you will get is pure conversation from Matt and me, prompted from the worst questions we've had in 3 seasons. It's different, it's fun, and in some places, disgusting. But it's well worth a listen. Here is BTTPP. Season 3, Episode 7, Part 1. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Barking Toad Trivial Pursuit podcast.
It's been so long, you almost forgot how to say
that. I very nearly forgot what we were doing then. Or BTTPP.
That's better.
It's better known. We are on the 30th of December, so it's been a couple of months since we last did one of these, and events overtook us, didn't they,
really? Busy.
But this is going to be a bit of a special BTTPP.
In every sense of the word.
Every way, shape or form. Because we've gone away and we've done what we say we're going to do, which is to do some research and come back with some facts and nonsense and everything in between. But unfortunately, the research that we've done has led us absolutely nowhere. And that's to say that we've done research. But the questions, when they came out, were particularly poor this time.
Mine were all right.
Okay, so why didn't you do any research then?
Because you said the other day, we're not going to do research.
Yeah, so mine were particularly awful. So what?
Ironically, you have done some research.
Well, I did a little bit on one of the subjects, but we'll gloss over that a little bit. So basically, I think what we're going to do today is we're just going to start off with do what we normally do, pull the colour out of the bag, start with the question, we'll read the question, we'll say what's on there, and just see where it takes us.
This is the festive blag episode.
It is. This is one where we have nothing to back up any facts that we say. We have a lot of looked on any websites or any of the information, and it may only be a starting point for a real ramble.
I'm going to be honest, of the 3 questions I got, I only know one of the answers.
okay, good. We like that. I'm just going to check the levels a sec. Just come down a little bit. That's a bit better, yeah.
Okay.
Because we were a little bit loud there. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to pull your colour, one of your colours, out of my bag.
So I go first.
You go first.
On this special episode with no research apart from the bit that you've done.
Yeah, so basically, this is going to be as improvised as it could possibly be. And
okay, come on.
What is Christmas if not for improvisation? Okay. So the first one out of the bag is pink. And the question there was, David Guetta is Spanish, true or false?
That is a question, you're quite right.
That is a question.
The question is, David Guetta is Spanish, true or false?
And the answer is...
Well, it's 50-50. There's a 50% chance I'll get this right. 50% chance I'll get it wrong.
Okay, now you're just stalling for time, aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm going to go false.
It is false. Do you know what nationality he is?
No.
He is a Frenchman.
Oh! Ah, le David Guetta.
Yeah, whatever. So do you know who David Guetta is?
No, do you?
He's a DJ, apparently.
Okay.
I have a feeling I might know vaguely a few things, but it's not really in my wheelhouse, that kind of music.
So is he the sort of DJ that's sort of all French and trancy and...
I believe so. I think he's one of these ones that basically puts on a playlist and makes it look as though he's twiddling knobs and that sort of stuff. And that's pretty
right.
much, that's pretty much it. The limit of what he does.
Available for 18th birthday parties,
bar mitzvahs, funerals. Yeah. One of those. Yeah.
So that's David Guetta.
That's David Guetta. That's all we know about him.
Yeah.
So where's that led you?
Nowhere. Because funny enough, I did no research.
Okay, so more importantly, where do you want it to go?
I don't know. Shall we think of famous... Oh, famous Davids.
Famous Davids.
How many famous Davids do you know?
We've done famous Davids in the past.
Nothing wrong with a retread.
Can you remember? Because we ended up talking about David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yeah. Was that a David and Goliath question?
That was the most famous David. You can imagine. I can't remember. It might have been Michelangelo's David.
Oh, yes.
Started the question off there. So we talked about David Hasselhoff, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Yeah.
I've read an article about a famous David.
Okay.
David Lee.
David Lee. Don't know that name.
He's
obviously not that famous.
He was sentenced to prison... and a 10-year ban on keeping animals.
Okay. Cheery.
Yeah, he was caught sexually abusing a seagull.
How does it always come round to you and animals and having sex with them? How do you get there so quickly? We had the woman who fell in love with a dolphin.
Yeah, bless her.
We had the person who shagged a blowhole of a dolphin. One of the questions we had recently was, which animal would you, if you had to, which animal would you have to have sex with? I'm starting to worry about you.
Which animal would you have sex with?
We went through this, didn't we? We've done this.
No, I'd just like to hear it again.
I think I settled on a jellyfish.
But you wanted to drill a hole in the top of it.
I didn't say drill a hole. You'd have to come in it from the top because...
a boiled egg.
Yeah, because the bottom's a little bit... the dangerous bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the hurty bit.
Generally is, find, in life.
I'm not into that kind of sex. There are limits. You really have got a farty chair.
I've got a farty chair again, yeah.
I don't know if you can pick that up, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's hope not.
It's mightily amusing from my end. Why are we on this again? Famous Davids to a David who...
Right, I just happened to stumble across an online article from Sunderland.
What part of the web are you looking at? Are you in the
Wiltshire
dark web
and Gloucestershire Standard.
So how is a bloke from Sunderland in the Wiltshire and Gloucester Standard?
I don't know. You know when you're looking at the kind of, is it flooding and kind of who's been in a crash and...
Yeah.
Well, all the
local
sensible stuff. And then
stuff.
Underneath that,
right,
there was... man sentenced for sexually abusing seagull.
Okay.
Now, in his defence,
no defence.
There is a defence. Just don't write him off. He had it between his knees, right? So he had it clamped between his knees.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. Now, witnesses said he had it between his knees as he performed a sex act upon himself.
Okay.
Now, does that count as abusing a seagull?
Well, seagulls aren't meant to be between people's knees, are they? Regardless of whether the sexual act, that's abuse of a bird anyway, isn't it?
Okay, so holding a bird between your knees is abusing it.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember Bernie Clifton?
Yeah, he didn't act. That wasn't a real bird, though,
what?
Was it? You know what I mean?
What?
It was half Bernard, half, like, costume.
it was like his legs, childhood ruined.
Yeah. That was great, wasn't it, Bernie Clifton? Actually,
so
it wasn't.
Are you
it
telling me?
Shit.
Are you telling me that Bernie Clifton didn't have, like, really floppy legs?
No, he did. He did have really floppy legs. But they were actually the ones that were meant to be the birds.
Right. Still really floppy.
Really floppy.
Oh, yeah. Bless him.
He struggled to stand up in the mornings.
Oh, that's brought some terrible images into my mind.
Yeah.
Have you ever had really floppy legs? This is a good question. When is the time you had the floppiest legs ever?
When I was very, very pissed.
Right.
Because my legs tend to go first when I'm pissed. I get pissed from the feet up. You know what I mean?
You get pissed from the feet up?
Yeah. That's what tends to happen is I tend to start, my legs go in opposite directions to the way my brain thinks that they should do. So you start looking forward and you suddenly realise you've just gone sideways.
You've crabbed.
Yes. Yeah. You've gone into a table full of other people's drinks. How have we got from David Guetta to me being pissed?
And your floppy legs.
And my floppy legs.
I don't know. This is setting the format for the afternoon.
Yes.
I think time I had really floppy legs in a children's playground in Hopton Holiday Village. They just went beneath me. All floppy.
Really?
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
Overexertion.
Oh, okay.
Was the cause of the floppiness in my case.
Tiredness.
Yeah. Okay. It was part of a kind of obstacle race.
Oh, okay.
It was when I was training to work at the campsite at Hopton Holiday Village.
And they put you through... They beasted you.
It was like police academy.
Jeez.
It was horrendous.
To work on a holiday camp?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Was it like full assault course job, was it?
Yeah. Well, I say assault course. There was a slide...
Okay.
Some swings, a mini climbing frame.
That's not really sounding that taxing.
Yeah, and wait, and a sand pit.
And your legs went from under you after doing that. You used to be in the cadets, man. You used to be like...
And that's what destroyed me.
So did you ever, when you were in the cadets, did you ever used to do any of these big assault courses?
We used to go to a place called Holcombe Moor and do the Krypton Factor assault course.
Okay. Yeah.
But the difference is, when we did it, they'd be throwing like grenades at us.
Smoke,
not actual. Obviously not.
Yeah. We did one when I was in the cadets down in Bath, and it was like a land-based training facility for the Royal Marines.
Oh, okay.
And it was called the Cliff and Chasm Course, and it was amazing because you started off at the top of the hill by the camp and had to run down a hill with a gun carriage. With all of your equipment on there and a beer barrel. And what you had to do is as a team, I think there were about 8 of us, as a team, you had to get this beer barrel around the course without it touching the floor. And it was, you know, proper hills and chasms, that. So you had to string ropes between the two mounds and then sort of...
And roll.
Pull it across and things like that. And somebody had to sit on it as it went across. And we did this, and then you had to put it all back on. So while this was going on, a couple of the team were in the had the gun carriage and had to run it round to the end of the course, and then all of the kit got put back on, and then you all ran the thing back up to the camp. And when we did it, our team did it in, I think it was 16 seconds more than the record time done by the Royal Marines.
You're still proud of that, aren't you?
I am, but there are a few caveats there. It's because I think we did it as a team of 8.
Mm-hmm.
They did it as a team of 5, I believe. Right. And their beer barrel was one of the big ones, whatever the size is, 36 gallons or something. I can't remember anyway. You used to have like the little ones and then the big ones.
So this was a big special brew.
We had the little barrel, and ours was empty. They had the big one. Theirs was full.
But that's incentive to get to the end, isn't it? And
But it's heavy. It's very, very heavy. And so they had fewer people, and obviously one of the crew had to take the gun carriage round to the end. So there's actually only 4 of them doing the course, and they did it with a full barrel, and they did it in 16 seconds quicker than we did it, and we had a lot fewer people. And yeah,
I wouldn't have mentioned the rest of that. I'd have just said 16 seconds and left it at that.
Thing is, I was only 15 at the time. So, you know, I was quite proud of the fact that we did that.
And so you should be.
Yeah. And also, we did it in our weather was beautiful, sunny days, so there was no mud or anything. They used to do it in the middle of winter when it was absolutely tipping it down with rain and there was mud everywhere. And
okay, so yeah, definitely leave it. When you say we did it 16 seconds slower, just leave it at that in future if you really want to impress people.
I'm not doing it to impress people.
Oh, of course not,
That makes me sound very shallow.
Yeah. I did it in this Hopton Holiday Village. It was in a little children's play area. I can't believe
you lost. Your legs went from under you.
Yeah, they just went to jelly and I just crashed down onto the floor. By the little...
What was it that did it? The slide? The playing in the sandpit? Was that...
Making
sandcastles.
It's just hardcore stuff.
Was it?
Yeah. You had to run around the swings three times, swing on them once, then dash to the slide. You had to climb up the slide, come down it, right? Then run across to the sandpit, hop through the sandpit, then run round to the climbing frame. You couldn't climb just over that. You got to get through it. So, kind of like that.
But you need to explain that to the listeners because they can't see what you're doing.
I'm doing a wave with my hand.
Yeah.
Oscillating wave.
So like somebody doing the worm, breakdancing worm.
You've got to worm your way through the little climbing frame.
Okay.
And then run to the finish. And it was on the run to the finish that my legs just said, oh, fuck this. Yeah. And I collapsed.
Bless.
Mm-hmm. So I got the worst time of everybody that was doing it. But it didn't bar me from the chance to be Bradley Bear. I was still able to.
So you were Bradley Bear.
Bradley Bear.
Excellent.
Yes. Bradley Bear, Bradley Bear, won't you come out and say hello? Knock on the door.
So you've done all of that like red coat shit type stuff.
Technically not a red coat.
No.
It was pink. I think blue. I think the
blue coat. Okay.
I don't know. Don't remember. Right. But they were horrible. They were like nylon-y, and you got a matching nylon waistcoat to go with it.
So full of static charges. Yeah. Then. Yeah. Mm. Excellent. Yeah.
Oh, it was grim.
Yeah, sounds like it. So David Guetta has led you to what is his name?
Bradley Bear.
Bradley Bear.
Via David Lee.
Yeah. Sex with animals.
Mm-hmm. And
as it always does.
Yeah.
You know what we've avoided, though, don't we?
What have we avoided?
Saint David.
Oh, him again.
Is there a Saint David?
There is, yeah. He's a Welsh fella, isn't he? He moved a mountain.
Of course he is. Oh, is that what? Is that the thing that he didn't do?
Yeah.
Ah,
that's
okay.
Exactly what he didn't do.
He moved a mountain. Yeah. Where did he move it from?
I'm not sure whether he shrunk it or grew it.
Well, he didn't do either, but no. I mean, so hang on, to start off with, you said he moved a mountain. Now you're saying he grew it or shrunk it.
He moved it like a shaman.
Okay.
That was an old 90s band joke.
Yeah.
There.
So he's too many mountains or whatever. Or move any mountains.
I can move any mountain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's good. Oh, no, that was a different one. Wasn't it? So he was stoned then?
He was stoned.
Right, okay. So why did they... Why is that... is that something that people needed him to do?
Did they
keep tripping over it and they needed it bigger so they could see it? Or did they need it smaller because they needed to get past it? That's where you shrank it.
Well, I think you've got to look at this in a number of different... First of all, this is in Wales, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the population of Wales are, on average, 3 inches shorter than the population of the rest of the UK.
This is a factual podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You can believe everything you say that comes out of Matt's mouth here.
On average, I mean, obviously some of them are a lot shorter. But you get some tall ones too that balance it out.
Okay.
So on average, 3 inches shorter.
Because they're that much shorter, they can't see over the mountains.
So they needed
Whereas we can, as English, we can see over them. So they needed it reduced in height so they could see.
Is this racism now?
Welsh isn't a race, is it? It's a nationality.
It's a nationality.
Yeah. it could be xenophobic.
It could fall into
xenophobic territory. Mm-hmm.
I feel safe because I lived in Wales for 3 years. So
what were they trying to see beyond these mountains? What was beyond that they couldn't see?
Well, like the bear that went over the mountain.
Yeah.
He went over the mountain to see what?
I don't know.
Oh, you know the song? The bear went over the mountain, the bear went over the mountain, the bear went over the mountain to see...
To learn how to sing in tune.
That happened, sadly.
Oh, okay.
To see what he could see.
Is this Bradley the bear?
No, it's a different bear.
A different bear. Okay, what's his bear called?
David.
Gavin. David the bear.
Which is why we're talking about him.
Okay. Oh, that's the link to David Guetta. Fantastic.
So David the bear went over the mountain to see what he could see.
And what did he see?
But all that he could see was the other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain.
And still couldn't sing in June.
No.
Okay. So he was obviously looking in the wrong direction then, wasn't he?
He was looking right back at the mountain.
If he'd have gone over the mountain and had the mountain to his back,
that would have been better.
It would have been, because you just didn't need to turn round, did it?
Oh, so this David, bear's, you fool!
His bear's a bit thick, isn't it?
I think they generally are. Yeah. That's not saying the Welsh are.
No,
they went over the mountain to see other things.
Penrith.
Yes.
Okay, to see Ireland.
Hmm.
Which mountain was it that St David didn't do anything to?
All of them. All the Welsh.
He did all of the Welsh mountains.
He's responsible for all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many put a shift in?
Was it flat before he turned up?
It was like the Netherlands.
Wow.
It was actually below sea level.
Or was it, actually, if he was reducing it, it'd be more like the Alps, and he's just taken a bit off the top of all of them. So he's a bit like a mountain barber.
He is. He's a bit off the top.
A little off the sides.
Number one.
Something for the weekend, sir. Okay.
Oh, something for the weekend. That means a condom, doesn't it?
Apparently so.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just for men who only have sex at weekends.
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever been
had
asked that by a barber?
No.
Or had sex at a weekend?
No, I've never had sex at the weekend.
Not with a barber.
No, I've never been asked that. I've been asked if I wanted some rumbaba. Have you ever had that?
I don't think I've ever had a rumbaba.
No, it's not. It's something you put on your hair.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like a fragrance thing, and it's a bit like, so if you've had a very close shave.
Right.
So I used to have
had a few of them.
They used to use like the cutthroat razor and things like that. And so if you go very close, I'll put rhubarber on it, and it's a bit like an aftershave, basically.
Is that what a rhubarber is?
Yeah, it's an aftershave.
There's no rum in it.
I don't think so. There is. I think there's alcohol in it, and that's what burns when you put it on your face. But,
rhubarber. Oh, that's. Hmm. Yeah. So I'm glad we got there.
You've learned something, see?
Finally.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, we have a proper fact.
BTTPP has educated you. You know, there's a good chance that's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was a pudding.
No.
What am I thinking of, then?
Am I allowed to check this?
Spotted dick, I think I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how you'd mix rhubarber and spotted dick.
It's because of the condom thing.
Yeah, I suppose so. So have you ever been asked for if you want something for the weekend?
No.
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 What's the weirdest thing you've ever been...
asked by a barber?
Asked by a barber.
Well, I've never had a barber who's done a white power salute.
No. Whereas I have.
I guess... I can't think of any weird things a barber has ever asked me, because the conversation is generally about holidays.
Yeah, and that's really dull, isn't it?
I really hate it. I hate the whole experience of... For me, it's everything that is wrong in life. Sitting staring at your own reflection in a mirror.
Yeah.
While somebody cuts your hair and tries to make small talk, that's not a good thing. There's nothing about that that is good.
No.
Because I don't like small talk, and have you seen what I look like? It's just...
So I was completely wrong. Rhubarber has nothing to do with barbers.
Right, no, okay.
It's a food.
Is it? Is it a pudding?
It's a food. It's a pudding.
Yes! Yes. Hey!
So I'm thinking of something else.
What are you thinking of?
I must be thinking of
a flaming mo.
So a rumbaba actually is a rumbaba or baba o rum is a small yeast cake saturated in syrup made with hard liquor, usually rum, and sometimes filled with whipped cream or pastry cream. It's most typically made in individual servings, but sometimes can be made in larger forms similar to those used for bundt cakes.
Bundt cakes.
Bundt cakes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the name Barbara O'Rum. If my surname was O'Rum...
I'm sure there is something that they use at barbers that they splash on you that has a similar name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there is.
What? Just Google, what does my barber splash on me when I'm sore?
Yeah, we're back to the white power salute again, aren't we?
Talking of puddings, I had a lovely one last night at the Ivy in Cheltenham.
Yeah, see, this is just you name-dropping now,
yeah,
isn't it?
This is an attempt to gain sponsorship of some kind. But they made the Christmas pudding and then poured petrol on it and lit it.
Oh,
might have been brandy.
Okay, yeah.
It was amazing.
Too good.
And we had, posh Christmas crackers.
Yes.
Right?
Not with plastic toys in or anything.
No, okay. You'll never guess what was in my Christmas cracker.
Go on, I don't know. Yeah.
No, you have to guess now because I've
said. But you just told me I'd never guess.
I know, this is why, this will give us another 5 minutes.
So this is going to drag this out, forever, because you said I would never guess.
Ah, oh, the infinite podcast,
yeah,
I like
now
it.
Now you've asked me to guess, means I'm never going to guess. So,
do you want a clue?
Was it made of metal?
Yes.
Okay. Was it a shopping trolley?
No. Oh, you're so close.
A shopping basket?
No.
Was it a mesh thing? Was it a security fence?
No, it wasn't.
Was it Tesco?
T.E.S. Cohen. No, it wasn't him. I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
Right. It was the most depressing thing in the world.
An iron.
No. So give you three more goes.
So it's made of metal. Made of metal. It's the most depressing thing in the world going.
Three more goes.
Was it a metal statue of Morrissey?
No. That would be really depressing, wouldn't it?
That's what I was thinking.
Sorry, I'm just fixated on a metal statue of Morrissey. In a Christmas cracker. Yeah,
it's a bit like the Angel of the North, but with Morrissey's face with gladioli. Depicted in steel. Yeah. Aren't you trying to pick that up? Trying to pull that cracker.
So what do you do with it once you got it?
It's like an Oscar, isn't it? You put it on your mantelpiece. It's a discussion point. It's like the.
Do you remember when he was good?
It's like the pointless trophy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or the blankety blank checkbook and pen.
Oh. Hey!
Morrissey in metal form. I don't know. You're going to have to put
Okay, I'll give you another clue.
Okay.
I can tell you exactly how long it was.
Oh, it's definitely a metal statue of Morrissey then, isn't it? was it a tape measure?
Yes! A metal tape measure.
Wow.
That was 4 inches long exactly.
Excellent. So for all your 4-inch needs.
Yes!
For anything where you don't know how long something is, up to 4 inches, you have a device.
And the reason it was the most depressing thing in the world was I then took it up to the bathroom with me.
And you had excess. I don't need all this.
I came in a little bit below.
This is too long. Come with me, we'll measure together.
But no, a four inch tape measure. What is that for? What are you going to use that for?
Girth.
Girth.
That's what I'd use it for.
I suppose in that case, the best I could hope for would be squareness.
Oh, should we leave that one there?
I think we exhausted David Guetta
we leave
now.
David Guetta at a 4-inch tape measure to measure girth. I think there that's a good
thing. I think we got somewhere with that. I'm
we
pleased.
Did. We did. Yeah. Okay. Right. So that means that my colours are blue, green, and orange, which is this lot here.
Mm-hmm. Stick them in the bag. Give them to me.
Where's oh, bag's on my lap. Okay. Take one of those out of there.
Okay.
Grab a cheese out of me soft sack.
And the cheese that is emerging from your sack is blue.
Blue. Right, where are we? Okay, so the question was, which two nations are separated by the Palk Strait? India and Pakistan, India and Sri Lanka, or Sri Lanka and Malaysia?
I just realised exactly why it is that you said let's not bother researching these.
Yes, because they are.
So next time I get really shit questions, I'm gonna pull the same card.
You're going to pull the mulligan. Mm-hmm. So the answer was... What, do you want to have a guess at the answer?
What was the question again?
Which two nations are separated by the Palk Strait? India and Pakistan, India and Sri Lanka, or Sri Lanka and Malaysia?
Well, India and Pakistan are connected. Sri Lanka and Malaysia.
India and Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Is the answer. So it must be that bit. So where you've got like the Sri Lanka teardrop bit.
And oh, the bit I hate the Sri Lanka teardrop.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the bit that separates that from the mainland of India. So do you know much about Sri Lanka?
No.
No. I know it used to be called Ceylon. It's where they used to grow a lot of tea.
Oh, the tea.
The tea.
Quite like Ceylon tea.
Yeah, yeah. So that's as much as I know about Sri Lanka.
Simon and Garfunkel sang about it.
Did they?
Yeah. Okay. Ceylon, silver girl.
Oh, very good.
Ceylon, bye.
Very
good. Your time has come to shine. And all your dreams are on their way.
It's Bradley Bear singing again, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so where can we go with India and Sri Lanka? Have you ever been to India? Have you ever been to that neck of the woods? Does it appeal to you in any way?
Not at all. No. I don't know why. Because as an RE teacher, you'd think I'd just be itching to get over there and look at some temples and lick them and that. But no, I just don't.
It doesn't appeal to me either. I don't know whether it's just my thought of the fact that you see a lot of, particularly in India, a lot of smog and their cities are very densely populated and it's all very busy and dusty. And you know, I don't know whether it's that puts me off, because I would imagine there will be a lot of India that's very nice. I think you get into the rural part of India, I should imagine.
Yeah.
There are a lot of nice places. I just, the thing that puts me off is knowing that you'd have to go over there for a substantial amount of time to allow for the fact that the first week you'll be shitting through the eye of a needle.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I know, if I'm going to India, I'm getting the shits.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's like you're just going to be, it's going to be like a colander, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just going to be going in all directions.
You're going to lose a lot of weight in the first week.
Exactly, and I don't have a lot to lose.
No, I've got enough to lose. Yeah. I could get by without some of this.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that's true. I don't know whether you do. I think you've got to be careful about what you eat, but I don't know whether it's a true fact that everybody who goes to India ends up with a shit.
It's all I've ever heard.
Yeah. And it puts me off a little bit.
Mm.
I did have some fantastic... So I play for a local cricket team that has a lot of Indians and Sri Lankans who play.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a barbecue at the end of the season and we went over there and I had some of the best beef I've ever eaten.
Ooh.
From the barbecue that they did. I don't know what it was marinated in, but oh, it was just gorgeous and tender, and it was, yeah. It was
stop it, you tease.
Proper food.
Oh.
It was good. I was very impressed.
What I want to know is people who visit Britain from India, do they get the shits in the first week? Is it reciprocal?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I don't know. Answers on a postcard, ladies and gentlemen, to Barking Toad Comedy, P.O. Box 15, London W12 5F.
Because I have a feeling it is literally just that kind of the fact that it's just what your body isn't used to.
Yeah. But you know, you can get it going to France. I've had the shits in France. I've had like issues over there. What countries have we had the shits in?
Yeah.
I didn't in Romania because I wasn't there long enough. Spain or Tenerife. Tenerife. I had an experience in Tenerife, which wasn't pleasant. It was one of those farts that wasn't.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I know, it was one of those ones.
Ghetto blaster.
Yeah. Well, not quite. Not quite as bad. So there was a couple of guys, a couple of my mates, we were up by the bar. Mm-hmm. And they had these outdoor pool tables and they were playing pool. I was sat on the other one. And
You were sat on the pool table when this happened.
Yeah. And I lifted a cheek to fart and went, there was a bit more substance to that than I was expecting.
It was far more moist than I was anticipating.
And fortunately, our room was in very close proximity to where we were. So I just said to the guys, I need to go. And I walked around and I could feel it running down the back of my leg. And I just basically just jumped in the shower.
Were you wearing shorts?
I was wearing shorts.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah. So I then had to jump into the shower fully dressed and just wash everything down. And yeah.
What a lovely image.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
I'm going to kind of call myself out as having slightly racist attitudes now.
Go on.
Because my first thought when you said about India.
Yeah.
And have you ever been there? Was I don't want to go because I get the shits.
Yeah.
But I've just been thinking about this. And I think the one country where I've had the shits the most is England.
Well, you spend a lot of time in England.
But is it coincidence?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? There's a ratio thing going on there. I've never been to India, so I've never had the shits in India.
Yeah.
But I've been to England and I've had the shits a lot in England.
Yeah,
so England is the bad one.
Yes.
I mean, I've never had the shits on Mars, but
so it must be fine.
Let's go there. Yeah. Can you imagine having shits in a spacesuit? That wouldn't be good, would it?
I think there must be a valve you can let it out.
Got to be a container somewhere, hasn't it? Yeah, yeah. You
there
can
has
fill
to be
up.
Something. Has to be something protecting you above the neck.
Can you imagine, Neil, are you all right? Oh, he's
can't see
drowned
anything.
In his own shit. He's filled his suit up. His head goes, I can't breathe. As it fills up.
Do they have emergency
nose.
Snorkels? What do you do in that situation?
You get out quick.
I think there's a cut off. I think there's some kind of protection.
Like a seal.
I think it's a bit like, do you know when you were little and you went in the bath or the shower? And you had your hair washed, but you had like a thing round your head, like a big sphincter.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you not remember?
I think that would give me nightmares. I don't remember. Mum, why have you put a sphincter on my head?
Might be a northern thing. I don't know.
What's it meant to do?
Well, like it goes round there, right? So just above the eyes,
right?
And it's like a big visor thing with a sphincter in the middle.
But what for?
And it stops the soap from getting in your eyes, so you wash your hair. And
it's an eye protector.
Yeah, but around the whole.
So up north, they didn't have no more tears then.
No. It's like the brim of a hat.
Right.
Right, but it fits, but the sphincter keeps it.
I just got the images
really
of
tightly.
I got the images of a car tyre. To stop you getting soap in your eyes.
Yeah. Dude, is that my,
That's northern.
Is it the northern head sphincter for babies?
It may possibly even just be you.
Might be.
It might just be the Macaulay thing. I don't know of anybody who's ever said that they had to put a tyre on their head.
Not a tyre.
A sphincter. It's
obviously a head sphincter.
Oh, dear me.
Google it. Google head sphincter.
Head sphincter. No, we'll get that mouse back. No, sphincter mouse. That's weird.
So I think if they've got one of them around the neck,
yeah,
right, then that'll stop the diarrhea in its tracks.
Filling up the helmet.
So I'll still be able to breathe, and then I'll have like a nipple valve, and they just
what do you want a nipple valve? What?
Because you don't want it down where you can't reach quickly. If it's all coming up because of
valve
lack of gravity.
Around their nipple, not a nipple valve. All right, so they're not lactating then.
Well, no, but
space.
It would look a bit like that. Like they're lactating.
Lactating astronauts. Is that what they're potentially going to drown in as well, is it? Either shit or their own human milk.
You're just being silly now.
Nope.
So you open the valve.
This is very
relevant
questions.
And you squeeze
your
suit like an accordion.
Right.
And it'll... A cloud of diarrhoea comes out. And it would probably freeze instantly.
Why do the Americans not know how to spell diarrhoea?
Oh, I don't know. Do they not?
No. They spell it... I think they spell it phonetically. It's like not the diarrhoea, the way we spell it.
So how do... What they...
It's like something like D-I-A-R-E-A.
Is it die, D-I-E,
no.
Dash or dash ear?
I think it's die, D-I-A-R-E-A, something like that.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Something like that.
Idiots.
It's just got no class.
This is why they don't have nipple valves on their spacesuits.
Yeah.
They don't. Idiots.
See, to me, if you're going to do that, you don't deserve diarrhoea.
No.
You know, if you can't spell it properly, you don't deserve to have it.
You say don't deserve diarrhoea. Now, be honest here, Rob. Is there a part of you that's a little bit pleased when you get it?
Never. No.
You never think, I might be losing a bit of weight here.
No, because I've already said I haven't got much weight to lose.
Okay, all right.
I can't afford that.
And also, it's a slightly pleasant feeling, isn't it?
No. The initial thing can be a relief.
Yes.
Mainly the relief is I've made it to the toilet.
Yeah.
That can be the...
But, okay.
At least I'm here.
In the ideal situation, right, you've made it to the toilet.
Yeah.
There's been no moistening of the shorts or anything like that. You've made it to the toilet.
You're off the tube.
Imagine this, you're in a lovely toilet.
Yeah.
Pristine, it won't be in a minute, but pristine. You've got lots of lovely quilted toilet paper.
Yeah.
Maybe something with that lovely moist toilet tissue
on hand. Yeah, the moisturised stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make the mistake I did.
What, of licking it?
No, with the moist toilet tissue.
What, rubbing it on your face?
No. I must have told you this.
No.
My parents had some Flash Domestos wipes.
I
thought
anal
was
bleaching.
Moist toilet. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
People pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent an afternoon sat in a bath of cold water.
I'm sure.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Arse bleed. Yes. Anyway.
But my personal hygiene, second to none.
I can imagine. Yeah. Nobody's catching anything out of that arse, are they?
And that's what I did with that bottle of toilet duck. Did say for use under the rim.
Yeah. Anyway.
So you're in this pristine, beautiful bathroom. The door's locked, triple locked. Nobody can get in.
Is there music?
There's music.
What music have we got?
Well, you could have
Chopin's
Four Seasons.
Symphony. Four Seasons would be good.
Yeah.
Planets would be
obviously,
a bit
mostly what you'd be getting is autumn.
Yeah.
With some April showers.
Yeah. The fall.
So this chair just farting again.
I think the chair has just gone in out in sympathy with our conversation. So where's this going? So we're in a very nice, comfortable...
You're having diarrhoea in the best possible situation.
Okay.
Are you not even a little bit happy?
No, happy is... relieved? I will go with relieved. Mm. I can take that. Happy, no. Because you know what's at the end of it. Because even though you have that initial release...
Mm-hmm.
The bit at the end of it, you know, the bit like if you're sick,
yes,
right? That initial expulsion is that is a relief, and then you're into the dry retching bit and the acidy bit.
Oh,
that acidy bit
regurgitating on empty,
exactly. And you feel it up in your throat, and it's the same the other end. It's that you've had the release of the thing, and then suddenly. It's just stomach acid coming out, and you're going, I'm going to pay for this.
Oh.
You know, that ring of fire.
I've never had Johnny stomach acid coming out of my arse.
Have you not? That's pretty much the end of a life. Yeah. Have you not? You've never had the Johnny Cash moment.
I've had the ring of fire. Yeah. That's mainly due to what I've been eating the night before.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about through like illness. So.
No, never.
Oh, okay.
Never had it burn quite that much through illness.
Did you have your head sphincter on your arse at the time? Is that what it was? Protected the sting.
I'm going to show you a photo of the head sphincter at some point. You? Oh, I thought all babies had them.
No. Not all babies have abusive parents.
Okay.
Look at what my baby looks like. I'm going to embarrass him when he's 18.
It's just the rim. It's just a rim round. A rim round your head sounds no better, does it?
No, it doesn't.
A brim. The brim of a hat. Like imagine a Mexican's hat, right?
Yeah.
Just round
your head. Yeah. But without the bit in the middle.
And it stops, and you don't get seepage of the soap into your eyes. It's a humanitarian invention.
I can understand the theory behind it. I've never heard of it before.
Okay.
I remember we used to have what we used to wash our hair with. So we used to put soap on our hair because we never had a shower when we were kids. It was always baths. And so you'd be in the bath, you'd wash your hair, and then we had this bin, basically a plastic bin, mm-hmm. that you got the water in and you poured it over your head and that washed all the soap, and you just had to squeeze your eyes tight to make sure that you didn't get soap in your
plastic
eyes.
Plastic bin.
Yeah. And but
you were proper pooer.
Yeah. But on the plastic bin at the top, around the rim, there was like a decoration, which was just loads of slots. So the water didn't actually come out of the end of it. It came out through these slots when you poured it over, so it came out before you were expecting it to. It was really annoying. But that was also the bin that used to be used as children if anybody was sick.
Nice.
So it was the sick bin and the hair washing bin.
So you wash your hair in the sick bin.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Mm.
This has been a pleasant topic. What do we start off with? Oh, India and Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Yeah. It's taken us to the sick bin.
I'm glad we got there somehow.
Should we leave it that way?
I think that's it.
Is it time to move on?
I think it's time to move on, yeah.
All I can say is, ladies and gentlemen, I apologise profusely.
For the sick bin.
For that entire section, because that was just really grim. So actually, that's got to be the end of part one, isn't it?
Is that the end of part one?
Is that the quickest part one we've ever done?
No,
well, we're recording it 47 minutes at the moment. So
how time flies when you're having fun.
When you have a sick bin. Right, so I think that might be time to move on to the next question. But before we do, we'll have a brief pause. See you in part two, ladies and gentlemen. Bye.
See you then.
So, what did you think? It's not every day you get to hear discussions on head sphincters and how to use a 4-inch tape measure, is it? Good job, really. Join us again in part two, where we decide whether hating people from Swindon counts as xenophobia and what would be in a Rob museum. If you want more information about Barking Toad and what we get up to, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can check out our website at barkingtoadcomedy.com. And don't forget to leave us a review. And tell your friends. Bye.